Great way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is this a thing that y'all do where you just pee outside?
Yes. Saving water. Conserving water.
What do you mean saving water?
And it's
water?
Good for the
you're
soil.
Not flushing?
Yeah.
Well, I was in the locker room showering and I had to go, so.
There we go.
So I would say on average I zizzle, I don't know, 8 times a day. 4 are outside.
What?
If you're sitting on the couch, will you go, I gotta go pee and walk out the back door?
Or the front door.
Anyway, I think the guy in the shower opposite saw me. Gave me a dirty look.
You went in the shower.
Yeah, so what? I'm not the only one.
Huh. The front door?
I got big arborvitaes right in front. And I hide behind those.
Could it be because you don't want him to know that you have a friend who pees in the shower?
Oh,
I think it is. That's exactly what it is.
Why couldn't you just wait?
I was there. I saw a drain.
Since when is a drain a toilet?
It's all pipes. What's the difference?
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing.
Not Joshy and I just getting the logistics figured out as I am coming to you live this morning from Bristol, Connecticut. Oh, hey guys, now I see you on the stream. How's
Hello.
It going?
Hello.
what do you mean? You didn't have to work yesterday.
Weather sucks. What else?
Yesterday was a fine day.
I've lost an hour and a half of sleep.
That's not my fault.
A lot of work.
What? What work?
That's about it.
What work?
A lot of yard work there, bro.
Oh.
Gotta grind. It's just the weather.
I thought you loved yard work. I don't understand. I thought this was something you enjoyed.
I'm starting to enjoy it less.
He does. But the thing he enjoys most about it is complaining about all the work that he has to do. That's his favorite part about the yard work.
That's fair. It's June what?
Today is the 10th.
And I have to wake up to 48 degrees outside? Are you guys out of your minds?
You know,
what do you expect on June 10th?
I mean, I expect you to be tough.
I expect 82
you're
and
supposed to
sunny.
You're supposed to be the grinder. You're supposed to be the tough guy of the group. And that's what I expect.
I mean, granted, I left 92 in.
And you were starting to complain about how that was too hot.
I mean, I would think June 10th would be luscious.
It is. Got a high of 75 today. It's going to be great.
All right. Okay.
Just, you know, when you wake up and the sun's still barely
peeking
over the top.
I like the sun up. I do like the sun.
Oh,
the sun up is nice.
If we were to power rank toughness on this program.
Yeah, I'd be 4. Yes, I would be 4.
All right. All right. As long as, yeah. as, long as we're all the same.
I was going to big reveal you as 4th, and you jumped right
in.
You said, no, that's me.
I'm a marshmallow. I am so soft. Yes.
Wait, how can you be a grinder and this soft?
It's a good question.
Those don't seem to go hand in hand.
I don't think I'm a grinder anymore. You know?
Isn't that what he breaks? Am I crazy? Am I crazy? Is anybody else on the panel?
Well, here's
doesn't
the
he
deal.
Say he's a grinder like 7 times every week?
I bought the golf clubs back. Not by choice. I was told to. So I brought them back. And if I didn't play well, because golf, if I don't play well, I don't care.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
If I don't play well now, I'm either leaving the course.
Yeah.
Or I'm bringing everyone down to my level. That's it. What would you rather have?
The worst person to golf with.
What would you rather have?
Leave.
If I'm playing in a foursome with you, leave or bring everyone down?
I'd prefer you leave.
Yeah, go home.
All right.
Get out of here.
See, I mean,
is there any chance he's going to offer some entertainment value?
Oh, yeah, bringing you down is entertainment in my eyes.
Yeah, I was about to say, bringing everybody else down is entertainment for him. It's not entertaining for me to be brought down to his miserable level.
You know what the worst thing to do, Jen, with good golfers, when I bring them down? I would destroy Gabe. Gabe's game would be done. All you say to him is like, huh, when did you get that hitch in your swing?
It's always been there.
Yeah, but he'd know that you were, he'd know that you were.
Can't fight it. Can't fight it. No, you can't fight it. I'm relentless.
What happens if I pipe the next one or stuff the next one?
Then I start going over to the top positive. And then your mind will be like, what is he doing
now? Okay, there we go. Yeah. Psychological warfare. This is something I can get behind.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell us you're the dude from Happy Gilmore? You're the jackass dude from Happy Gilmore?
What, the guy with where he punches him?
Well, he punches out Bob Barker.
Yeah, but he had it coming.
The guy that stands in the gallery says, you are never going to make this putt.
Oh, that guy, yes. Just not as vocal. That guy was a little loud and obnoxious.
Not as overt.
I do it
subtly. You're saying you would have done it a little more. Yeah.
I'd argue you do nothing subtly.
You think?
I mean, again, you're known as the elephant because of all the sounds you make in the morning. Yeah. You're 6'6". Like, it's just tough for you to do anything subtle. It's always big motions.
Yeah, I know. I'm a heavy walker, too, which is not a good thing.
He's got the heavy step of a tired old man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, I'm good.
Got that out of his system.
What are you doing in Bristol, Jen?
Speaking of being a tired old man, I had the hotel experience last night, hotel bed the night before. I am struggling. My neck is so locked up, right up here, right at the base of your neck. I can't even turn my head all the way to the left right now. This is the biggest thing. I've said this before when I have gone on my travels. This is the biggest thing that keeps me from wanting to travel is not sleeping in my own bed. Chu, do you at least have the same bed at your house in Florida and your house in Wisconsin?
Yes. I believe all the mattresses are the same.
Oh, what
they're all Costco, which are wonderful, and we're going to get to that later on in the show. But no, it's not a bed thing, Jen. It's a pillow thing. Your pillows are all screwed up. It's not the bed.
Yeah, but hotel pillows are the worst. Do I need to start packing my own pillow? I think we need to decide that here and now today.
Isn't there a service in big cities where you can like rent a pillow?
I don't know about renting, but I will have no shame to call the front desk and say, hey, we need some extra pillows up here. And usually they can accommodate you.
Extra is fine. There were 4 pillows on this bed last night. But the problem is, as soon as I put my head on all of them, any of them, even them all stacked, you go right to the mattress.
Yeah, the
they
pillows
have no,
are...
They have no, what do you call it? Like
integrity?
Yeah, sure. They have no integrity.
Pillow integrity.
Yeah. How many pillows do you sleep with? I'm a 2.
Support also probably.
2? Everyone a 2?
Support's probably the better word.
Everyone a 2?
Yeah, I'm usually 2. Oof, I've got 2 on the bed.
I'm required to have 3. If I could have 6, I would. I want to be surrounded by pillows.
Really?
You know what?
All over.
Angie puts one between her legs.
Love that move.
Which is weird.
Isn't that
girls do that?
Is that like a back thing? Like some people do that to like
I think it's a pregnancy thing. Isn't that she's not pregnant?
I was about to say, are you breaking some news here, pal? Yeah. Is this why you're so upset?
I think it's for spine alignment because when you lay on your side, your hips, that top hip sort of drops, right? Your knees kind of drop together. And so it's to kind of keep the legs parallel. I think that's what it's supposed to do. You guys, you're going to see me on the stream today if you're watching on the YouTube. I'm like over here just like, you know how I look like? I look like the Egger character from Men in Black. You know that guy, the alien that inhabited that dude's body? And he's just kind of like, that's how I feel.
I thought we'd be farther along with sleeping at this point in 2025.
What do you mean?
Like you'd go into like a gel little coffin.
Instead of a bed?
And you'd just be like floating. Yeah. Right?
I think you're referring to the Matrix.
You know what I'm saying? You just get into a gel bath and it's just like, you don't need to move.
We tried water beds.
I was about to say, didn't they try this in the 80s?
Failed.
I mean, I thought water beds kind of failed.
Sand. Now water beds are terrible.
I remember my parents used to have a water bed when I was a kid.
My uncle did, too.
They had a water bed. They eventually got a real mattress.
I mean, sleeping technology has unequivocally improved. Yeah. Like some beds have like cooling systems built into them where they'll rush air through the mattress. And like you've got all the Tempur-Pedic stuff. Like there's, it's really, the problem is people sleep different and some people have different needs.
That's why the gel bath.
I don't know if gel is going to provide the support some people would require because there's all differing levels of firmness to mattresses. Yeah,
I prefer a firm mattress.
How firm we talk.
All right.
When's
how
last
about
time you mattress shopping?
When we bought the house.
Into a mattress store.
Wow. When we
bought
the house.
Okay, so recently.
Yeah.
Because we did this a few weeks ago because, again, I'm trying to get a new mattress and trying to decide if I want to put some money towards it. But it is amazing how there are so many different options to Joshy's point.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's not just your soft and firm, right? And maybe there's a medium in there. It is all of the things. There are box springs. There is foam. There is cooling. There is pillow top. There is, I mean, it was a wild experience, so much so that I was like paralyzed by all of the options, paralysis by analysis sort of thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to come back later. I cannot make this decision right now. But I think you see, guys, from a technology standpoint, Joshy, all of the ways that pillows have changed.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
what was that pillow that came out a few years ago that was like the purple pillow or something and had like the cells? Like the all the cells that were grouped together.
It's
and
like,
then
a, it's like a gel
like a
almost.
Bowling ball on it
the,
or something.
The consistency of it, it's very wiggly.
I got a memory foam. Those are awesome.
I hate those.
Why?
I don't find them comfortable.
Remember when they used to be feathers?
You could still get
feather
pillows.
Yeah, if you wanted to get a feather pillow, you could.
And they pop out and stick you in the head.
Yeah, it's
that's
not
fun.
Yeah, you wake up and it looks like you ate a chicken in bed.
That's funny. You know what the funny thing is?
Carrie,
the funny thing,
the hell you dressed like a chicken?
The funny thing is, talking about this, I've already done power rankings.
Yeah.
And I'll give it to you now because it's going to be kind of difficult, but it's the top 10 inventions that changed the world.
Okay. I like that.
It's creative.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I
grind.
That.
See, I grind. See, that's evidence of a grind.
There we go.
Am I right?
I don't want to jump the gun here, but is the nuclear bomb not the 100% of the time?
Can we not guess now?
That one just sticks out.
It's taking away from the hard work I just did.
You are the one who threw it out there at 7:14.
I don't want guesses until 8:20.
We got 1-1.
Okay, maybe you should have established that. Maybe you should have said that.
So I want to go and revisit something that Jen just said. So it seems like, and maybe because you said you were a little overwhelmed with all the options, but you said you're debating whether you want to put money into the mattress. I'm telling you right now, put money into the mattress.
Uh-huh.
You will not regret it.
Shoes, mattress,
the aching
tires.
That I'm having right now, the pain that I'm having right now, guys, it's pushing me in that direction. Right? Because this is not sustainable. And I'm not saying that this is what happens when I'm at home, but like, again, if I'm going to be staying in this hotel regularly going forward, I can't do this. Maybe I just leave a pillow here. Maybe I just leave a pillow in Connecticut at the hotel.
You think they'll just keep it for you at the front desk? I was about to say, I mean, maybe if you keep it in the studios there in Bristol, but then you just have to swing by the studios to pick it up before you go to the hotel.
Maybe that's a business we should start. Rent a pillow. There's hotels everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, again, it seems like a strange idea to begin with. But when you think about it, I mean, when you're renting the hotel room, you're basically renting a pillow. So what's the difference?
Yeah, there's just...
Right, exactly.
The cleanliness is, like, I don't want Uber delivered, unless I'm keeping said pillow. I'm not going to entrust some gig economy pillow company is going to be gross.
No. Grosser than a hotel?
Yeah, I was about to say, the hotel's just as gross.
They're not washing the comforter, I can tell you that.
I understand that, but we have an understanding with the hotel. With this other thing, how do I know where they're storing it? How do I know how often this pillow is being used?
How do you know that with the room?
Right, but...
Wait, Joshy, did you miss the part where we own this company? This is a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy-owned company. I feel like we... can do quality control.
I'm not going to treat them like I treat my socks.
Yeah.
I'd actually
wash
them.
You're being spearheaded by the grossest person we know.
He's just the money.
Then again, number four.
he's just the money behind the operation, Josh. The rest of us are going to run it, make sure he gets a good ROI, and he's going to be happy.
No, if we're involved, He might be a good business owner currently because Ange is around.
Yeah.
But when it's us four, he's going to have some ideas and we're going to need to put them in action because he's going to say, well, do you want the funding or not?
Yeah. Oh, I'll be path of least resistance.
See?
Yeah.
He's a pushover.
Yeah. Good idea.
I will take any and all back pain solutions coming our way right now, guys, on the Carbliss Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. I will also take all suggestions on the YouTube stream this morning if you want to weigh in. Again, I'm in Bristol, Connecticut for some ESPN assignments. I was here last night. I was here the night before, and it was the second night that got me. Bad pillow, bad mattress, don't know what it is, but I am in agonizing pain this morning as we are here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. We got Jason Wilde coming up. Chewy already mentioned his power rankings. You probably have heard the latest on how athletes now will be paid. Within the next month or so, college programs, college athletics will be able to pay athletes. We're going to talk about how that affects Marquette and how that affects Wisconsin specifically, and stop bringing your Costco card to the airport. All that and more on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Find out what all the screaming is about. Buy two, get one free offer right now on Screamin' Sicilian at your local Piggly Wiggly stores. Deal ends today. Today's the last chance you can get buy two, get one free on all Screamin' Sicilian at Piggly Wiggly stores. Think about what that means. Yes, it means the regular Screamin' Sicilian. Thin and crispy, tavern style, or, Joshy, my favorite, the Detroit-style pizza.
The single best frozen pizza on earth.
I still don't know how they did it. I don't know how they got the crust to be so good with the Detroit style pizza. You just need to try it. So take advantage. Buy two, get one free right now. Piggly Wiggly stores on Screamin' Sicilian pizzas. Again, it offer ends today. Time to stock up your freezers on all your favorite Screamin' Sicilian flavors and find out what all that screaming is about.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always great to get the insight from our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Just trying to beat the garbage and recycling trucks.
Get them.
Oh, you're running the cans out to the corner?
Yeah, out to the bins. And I have this, look, I have issues. I know I have issues. But like when Tuesday comes, I always want us to be completely garbage and recyclable free by the time that after the garbage truck and the recycling truck come. So, like, I don't want any leftover garbage or trash in our house.
Exact same way.
So, like, for example, like last night, I mean, our garbage day isn't today. It's later this week. But last night, like, as I was cleaning up after dinner, I had to put a new bag in the garbage. So even though that thing is like maybe an eighth full, you would still take that out to the garbage?
Yeah, I would say it's more of a quarter full here, but yes, absolutely. Right now, that's
half full
happening.
Is full.
Yes.
Right?
It's not empty.
No.
If it's, it's not empty.
You know what the nice thing is in Florida? You can pull your landscaping crap out there too. They take everything. You can't do that here.
No.
Yeah.
They have special pickups for that.
Okay.
I've got a whole other issue with that now because we had a vacant lot on our streets, a beautiful wooded lot, and now someone has bought it and they're going to build a house on it. And so now I have to find somewhere else to put my grass clipping.
wait, you were just dumping it on somebody else's property, Jason?
We call that illegal dumping.
Come on, man.
I mean, we've lived here, this will be 13 years we've lived in this house. No, it's always been empty, so it's a perfect spot, and now someone dared to buy it after
unbelievable.
13 plus years. You're right, it is unbelievable.
The panel,
I can't believe it either.
The panel is telling me that you've never taken trash and thrown it into a dumpster of a house that's being built in the neighborhood? I do that all the time.
Yeah, they're perfect over there. I mean, we got people that poop in people's yards.
Oh, no, you didn't hear me, Jason. You did not hear me being critical. You did not hear me being critical of tossing those grass clippings, did ya? Did ya?
I did
just
not.
Just minding my own business over here in Bristol. All right, Jason, let's get to this. Before we ask you about this, I want to get to some sound that I don't think the guys shared with our loyal listeners yesterday, and that is from Mark Murphy reacting to the decision to cut Jair Alexander. Take a listen.
When you look at the construction of the roster this year, obviously it leaves a hole when you lose a lockdown corner like him. What do you feel about the team's ability to absorb that type of hit?
I feel pretty good. I think Keyshawn Nixon, what a great story. He's undrafted, all-pro returner. And, the reality is for like the last 4 years, Jair, it's about half of the games he's been able to play. So kind of we've been used to it.
The hell's that mean?
Jason, your reaction to that answer, it feels like he's trying to be complimentary of the guys that remain, and that's where we want to roll this story forward. As far as the guys who remain, corners, safeties, defensive backs as a whole, how confident should Packers fans feel about the talent they have out there without Jair?
Yeah, first of all, God, I'm going to miss him. I mean, you just never know what he's going to say, right? Like, can you imagine Bob Harlan saying, well, I mean, he missed half the games, so, we're used to it. Like, again, he's got no filter, right? None.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like, you're the president. That's not your role. Anyway, I hope Ed Policy is as loose-lipped as Mark Murphy. I think they have three potentially good players at that position. He's right about this. Mark Murphy's right about this. Keyshawn Nixon is a heck of a story. I mean, he got here. He was a one-year minimum contract deal guy from Vegas. They signed him basically because Rich Bisaccia really liked him. And he has gone from basically being just a special teams guy, not even like a returner when he first got here, but basically a special teams guy to all-pro returner, to nickel corner, to starting outside corner, and now between him and Hobbs, CB1. So he is a great story. They did pay Hobbs, and they signed him thinking that they weren't going to have Jair Alexander. That's what they thought in March, and that's kind of what they figured all along. And then I really like Carrington Valentine. If I had been Mark Murphy and I was talking somebody up to Dave Schrader from WBAY, I would have brought up Carrington Valentine. I think he could be, part of that long tradition of seventh round picks who turn out to be really good football players, right? I mean, Rashid Walker is one right now on this roster. Obviously, the knucklehead that I do a radio show with is one of the best that they ever drafted in the seventh round, Donald Driver. I think Carrington Valentine has a chance to be able to be talked about with those names. So I like those three to varying degrees. I don't know enough about Hobbs. Like, he wasn't at the OTA in a personal matter last week. So I've seen him once. I mean, he's wearing Charles Woodson's number. No expectations there. But, like, the guy played 11 games last year. He's not that much more durable at this point based on his track record than Jair is, and he certainly doesn't have the accolades Jair had. So that, they signed him, they paid him, he got, I think, $16 million guaranteed, but I don't see how good he is right now. I have no idea. So, I appreciate Mark being complimentary, but the fact of the matter is that there are question marks here. And we knew there were going to be question marks. And to me, the biggest question in terms of roster building here is, I think Goody had made up his mind when the season ended. I mean, I think he probably made up his mind before the season ended, right? That they were going to move on from Jair. I mean, I go back to this. I watched you guys talking to Rob yesterday, and he didn't mention this. I still go back to the NFL meetings, and Brian Gutekunst, who never wants to talk about hypotheticals, delivering the hypothetical of, Well, if he's not going to be on our team and helping us win games, then we want to get something in return for him because we invested a lot in Jair. That is a hypothetical. If he's not going to be on our team. So I've never heard a GM during my time covering the team since Ron. Ron would talk about everything because he was a straight shooter. I've never heard anyone before that talk about the idea of trading someone who is currently on the roster and under contract. And so they obviously knew that this was going to be the end game almost certainly, right? We can all agree on this panel that that's what they thought?
Yes.
Then to only add Nate Hobbs and Micah Robinson in the seventh round, I'm not going to be flamboyant and say, oh, it's roster building malpractice or anything like that. But you look at their depth chart and Kalen King and Micah Robinson and some other guys you've never heard of are carrying a lot here in terms of the expectation of them being good enough.
But Jason, are they? Because they're more than willing to drop the safeties that they drafted last year that they trust into the slot as well. So I think the depth there is also being covered by Javon Bullard and Evan Williams.
Right, but I would argue that they got a bunch of slot guys. Right? I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, who has shown he can play outside, has been a slot guy primarily. And when in the first OTA practice, what they did, and it does give them flexibility, but when we saw the number one defense and Hobbs was here, sometimes Hobbs played outside, sometimes Nixon played outside, and then the other one was inside. Great. I'm not talking about if they have those three and Bullard as their fourth, I got no problem with that. But if you think you're going to get through a 17-game NFL season, especially with your bye week after four games, without any of those three missing time, that all three will make all 17 starts or whatever it is, good luck. I hope it works out for you. But they did move on from three corners who, no matter how good, bad, or indifferent you feel about Eric Stokes, Corey Ballantyne, and Robert Rochelle the musical, you knew that those guys had played snaps in your system. And maybe these young guys spring up and play at a high level. But I think we at the same time have to be realistic and say they're going to be playing some really, really good wide receivers up and down their schedule. And we don't know how good Nate Hobbs is. We don't know how durable Nate Hobbs is yet. I still don't know, and I'm a huge Keyshawn Nixon guy. But is he a number one corner in the NFL? I would say his meteoric rise on this team, I wouldn't bet against him. But he hasn't proven that he can be that down in and down out. And then you've got a bunch of seventh-round picks. Harrington Valentine, Kalen King, and now Micah Robinson. So there is a lot to be proven from that entire group. All of them, in some way or another, has something to significantly prove.
Jason, you know Jair. Is he going to try and steer himself to a place to stick it to the Packers, or will it be a money grab for him?
I think his ideal situation, of course, Chewy, would be both, right? Like if Minnesota, if Detroit, if Philly, obviously all of whom are contenders in the NFC and all of whom are on the Packers schedule, give him good money, I think he's going to be, that's going to appeal to him because while I don't think he has hard feelings for his teammates or for Jeff Hafley, I do wonder how he feels about how last year was handled in terms of the time he was missing. And you know, it was really Bakhtiari 2.0 in terms of, you know, Matt LaFleur did a better job of not showing off all of his frustration, but not a ton better. And then I do wonder how he feels about how Goody handled the situation too. So I would think that he would love that opportunity. At the same time, you know, he chose not to come back here, even though he has some of his closest friends in the world on the roster, whether it's pride or whether it's how low the number was that they were willing to actually pay him beyond the incentives. He chose not to come back. So I would think that the money will be maybe motivating factor 1A and the opportunity to face these guys and show them what they missed out on would be goal 1B.
So, Jason, with the money that they save, are they going to do anything with that? Because they've got a boatload of cap space now since they're able to split that cap hit over this year and next.
Yeah. Yeah, my knee-jerk reaction, Gabe, would be to say, well, now they've got all kinds of money that they can pay guys that are all in their final year of their contracts, right? I mean, it's three guys on the offensive line. There's two wide receivers. There's guys on defense. But again, every time I think about them signing a guy to an extension, I hear little Goody on my shoulder with that 1.6 number that he said, that's the number of guys that teams sign to a second contract out of their draft classes. And for him, there's a number of drafts that he only signed one or none. 2020 and 2021, it's Love and it's Isaiah McDuffie. So I don't even know if they want to use that money for that. I don't think that I will be very surprised if they are marshaling their resources to pay a Trey Hendrickson. I don't see them in the Jalen Ramsey conversation. I mean, that you're just basically trading one, kind of high maintenance corner for another, right? If you do that. So I don't know.
And older.
And I don't think, great point. So I just don't think that money's burning a hole in Goody and Russ Ball's pocket. Maybe it goes to a Zach Tom extension that they can front load a little bit. Maybe it goes to an extension. I mean, I don't even know, because I don't believe that they're going to extend Romeo. So
no.
I would think that they're just going to, put it in the bank and let it sit there. I think that's probably the most likely scenario.
And Jason, I don't disagree with you at all. I think that is the most likely road that the Green Bay Packers take. But I can't help but think about Brian Gutekunst tweeting about urgency. And I don't mean tweeting like literally on the app, but like earlier this year talking about urgency. And every time every time something like this comes up, I'm wondering how he can reconcile these two things. Now you have all this money that you freed up from cutting Jaire Alexander. You have talked about urgency. Shouldn't the urgent mind take some of that money and reinvest it in the roster somewhere?
Yeah. Jen, he showed total urgency. He signed a guard and a nickel. And that's urgency, man. I mean, look, I couldn't agree with you more. It's a little late to be going on a spending spree, though, right? Like, this is the time of year that you get Devondre Campbell and you hope that he becomes a first-team All-Pro like he did a few years ago before becoming a malcontent and then quitting on the 49ers. There's nowhere, like, it's kind of like having all this money and having nowhere to spend it. Like, I don't know where you spend it if it's not on a trade. Because Trey Hendrickson, if you trade for him, you're giving up a pick and you have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of him being in the position he's in. I don't see Goody doing that since he already celebrated his 30th birthday. So I agree with you about the urgency thing. We were talking about it yesterday, and then I think illegally used a version of Smokey the Bear for a graphic. So I don't know what urgency is for him if we're just going to give him credit for Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs. I think he believes, and I don't want to speak for him, I think he believes all these guys that are facing pivotal seasons in their development and have to come to maturity, starting with the quarterback and then going through all those offensive linemen and guys on defense, all these third and fourth year players, I think he's banking on them all feeling that urgency and playing at the level that we've seen flashes of them playing at, and that's going to be enough to get them to be a Super Bowl contender. And if he's right, it's going to be a hell of a story. If he's wrong, they're going to be the sixth or the seventh seed again, and they're going to punch out before the NFC Championship game, and we're going to be talking about, some urgency is showed there.
That's like me believing that every one of my tickets at Pottawatomie Sportsbook is going to hit, Jason. I know there's a few that aren't going to, okay? I'm just hoping that more hit than don't hit. So this idea of every one of these guys will elevate their performance this year feels like a fool's errand to me.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, if we use that analogy, maybe you've got one that hits big, right? Like, and is enough to really pad your bank account. And some of the other ones that you miss on, yeah, you were close. And, you know, they got your hopes up a little bit, and they had, there were some good moments where that bet looked like it was going to pay off. And then it doesn't hit, but at least there was, you know, some good, oh, hey, I can't believe the Pacers are in the finals, even if they don't win it, right? So I am eager to see, but, you know, we're talking about Reed and Wicks. We're talking about those offensive linemen playing at a high level. We're talking about some guys on defense. I mean, you got, Gabe mentioned the two safeties. I mean, they need Javon Bullard and Evan Williams to be durable and productive. That would help their defense immensely. So those are all guys they're counting on. Obviously, Romeo Doubs, if he can be really productive and come to work every day, that would be helpful. So there's a lot on the table here, but they are clearly largely counting on improvement from within and significant improvement in year three and year four from a lot of players.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
You can hear Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. I mentioned my friends over at Pottawatomie. Set sail this June for a boundless bounty at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It's a treasure worth $300,000 in cash and prizes. How do you win? Well, you just got to play your favorite slots. 40 winners each Thursday. The $300,000 Boundless Bounty happens this June. Do not miss it. If you want more information, you can go to Pottawatomie.com. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
React to the situation. We knew that Jair Alexander may be gone, but when you look at who is left, what I am curious about is your concern level. Because I got to be honest, guys, I'm mildly concerned about the talent and the production of the cornerbacks without Jair Alexander. You can look at last year's production by that unit and you can say, well, Jair wasn't there a boatload of the time, a lot of the time. So this is the group with the addition of Nate Hobbs, of course. But Jason mentioned you got some names there of guys who you hope are going to perform even at a higher level. King being one of them that I would like to see take that next step in his evolution. So when I push it through our Seinfeld scale of concern, guys, I got to be honest, I cannot in good faith be at yada, yada, yada right now for the cornerbacks of the Green Bay Packers. If Brian Gutekunst doesn't go out and use some of the money that they got back from cutting Jair Alexander and invest in the cornerback position, or, I'm going to put this out there as a caveat, invest in the defensive line, which would also benefit the cornerbacks, right? Because we know they don't exist in a vacuum. I think I'm at a little stressed on the Seinfeld scale of concern. Gabe, where are you with the state of the cornerbacks of the Green Bay Packers if Brian Gutekunst does not bolster that position?
Well, I'm not expecting him to. I'm not expecting him to do anything. Like, he's known for how long that Jair wasn't going to be on this team. I mean, when you take a look at some of the reporting that's happened, I know Matt Schneidman had that report, you know, a week or two ago saying, oh, the contract's in front of Jair. It seems like that contract was offered a while ago, and that wasn't something that was recent, that they were looking to trade him. The Bills were interested in picking him up, didn't want to pay full freight, though, and that deal ends up falling apart. Brian Gutekunst has known for a long time that Jair isn't a part of this team. I'm yada, yada, yada. They've got three guys they absolutely trust. They're hoping that somebody can develop into that fourth guy. They've got a couple of guys they can drop down into the slot. And I think, honestly, in today's NFL, if you're a team that has five corners you trust, I want to see that team. What team has absolutely five corners that they trust and somebody goes down, they go, oh, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We're just going to plug this guy in. I think if you have three guys, that's how it works today in the NFL. Do they have a lockdown guy? No. But I don't think that this is a below average group. It's about an average group. But also, I've been operating under the assumption that Jair wasn't going to be here anyway. So this is what the group is.
Yada, yada, yada.
I'm stressed because they're average. They're average. And me and Gabe were talking during the break that, and I think Craig Newsome and Doug Evans from my day were better than these guys because Doug got paid after the Super Bowl. He was thought of. But the difference is our D-line, which makes your corners much better.
When you've got Reggie.
Yeah.
Things just are a little
bit. You don't have
to
cover as long. You know? But I'm what I'm afraid of, because their team is not as good today without Jair. I'm sorry. It's just not.
But
it's not. We all hope for him to play 15 games, and he didn't, but they're not as good. And I have a feeling, I'm just afraid that this is a Wayne Simmons type deal, where we didn't have Wayne for the Denver Super Bowl, and Ron got rid of him because Mike didn't like him. I'm like, who cares? There's people on the team I didn't like. You play football, you go in a locker room shower, and then you go home. You don't hang out with them.
But at the same time, I just take a look at this, and
I'm not saying pay him the whole 17, the guaranteed.
Yeah.
But I think there was a number that they could have got at that he would have been fine with. Maybe it was 7. Maybe it was 8. My guess at the end of the day, when we see what they offered him, I bet it's like $2.5 million.
Yeah. I think the number is going to be incredibly low, which is why he ultimately decided not to sign it, which is ultimately why he's released. But I guess I just wasn't counting on him. He wasn't here for the second half of last year.
Talk about Jair, guys. I don't want to talk about Jair. I want to talk about if the guys they have are good enough for this defense to be imposing, to be intimidating.
No.
When you line up against any offenses, if these offenses are going shaking in their boots because of who Green Bay has at the cornerback position.
No. And they're 2 injuries away from disaster.
No, but I don't Everyone think.
They're 2 injuries away
but isn't
from
that
disaster.
Everybody? Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. And these rankings, I'm sure, will come out. What's Green Bay's DBs going to be ranked out of 32?
DBs or corners?
Well, because Xavier McKinney, if you include him, is going to elevate the DBs.
Okay, that's right. Go.
Like, all three of their safeties, I think, are better than all three of their corners.
Just go defensive backfield.
They're probably near the top 10.
12.
I'd say 10 or 9.
What's the D-line going to be?
What's
21st? The D-line going to be?
I was about to say, if I want to be optimistic, I was going to say 22nd, yes.
That ain't good enough to get it done, peeps.
No, but I mean, I guess that has nothing to do, again,
no,
to me,
I know,
with the cornerback position. That's, you haven't done anything to upgrade that.
But this is what we're going to battle with. Jen, and I know you brought it up, you need to reinvest that money. Goody is not trading for anybody. It's over. It's done. It's sailed.
Yeah. I thought that money.
This is what you're going to battle with.
Yeah. Anything with that money, you're reinvesting in the roster you currently have.
Yes.
And extending guys or giving some more guaranteed money to Elgton Jenkins, things of that nature.
It's fine to be positive, like, well, some guys got to make that next step. You know, your analogy with Potawatomi. I ain't buying it. I'm not drinking Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. Not Kool-Aiding.
Doesn't it stand to argue that with all that comes with Jair, the 2025 cornerback room is better than 2024? You replace Stokes with Hobbs, and now you've got the same guys you had there. Jair was a non-factor for half of the season. Like, I feel like we're double counting Jair. Like, he wasn't there.
Well,
he wasn't a part of the team.
Joshie, I think it's
a
good point by you if you're trying to say this idea of addition by subtraction, because also we talk about distraction and we talk about sometimes, you know, that can suck some of the energy, that can suck some of the production out of a room. But over the last 2 seasons, Green Bay was 10-4 with Alexander and 10-10 without him. And I'm not saying that that is the end all be all metric. Wins and losses obviously matter tremendously. If I'm Jair's agent, that's definitely something I would have thrown in front of the Packers as a leverage on our side sort of angle. But at the end of the day, I still don't think that these guys, based on what we've seen, are good enough to go toe-to-toe with the wide receivers, the pass catchers that the Green Bay Packers are going to see on a weekly basis. And so, yeah, you're going to be putting a lot on Jeff Hafley's shoulders. And yeah, you're going to be putting a lot on Xavier McKinney's shoulders. But at the end of the day, I look at all of the talent that all of these teams have at the wide receiver spot and go, man, at least when Ja was out there, I felt like he could win some of those battles. And now, I don't know, one-on-one, Chu, when you look at the wide receivers, let's just go in the division. Let's not even go league-wide. In the division, are you looking at a Keyshawn Nixon, Justin Jefferson matchup going, yeah, Keyshawn can get, out of 10 of those one-on-ones?
No chance. And anyone who want to take this bet, I guarantee Jair goes to a team to stick it to the pack. And he plays 15 games and maybe makes the Pro Bowl.
I think he's going to go to the highest bidder.
15 games?
Yep.
I will bet everything I
if
have.
If he goes to a team to stick it to him, you watch. That's just what guys do. It's just what they do. You know?
Well, I think we got two polls that we can throw up there today, Joshy, on the Infinity Exteriors poll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We can do the Seinfeld scale of concern for the remaining defensive backs. Actually, not remaining defensive backs. I want to be clear. Remaining cornerbacks. Because I do think that Xavier McKinney is a stud, and I think he will elevate the ranking of that unit as a whole. But cornerback specifically, I want to know where people's concern level is for the guys that remain in that room. And then, Chewy, I like your 15 games.
Yeah.
I like 15. If we set the over at 14.5,
yeah.
Will Jair Alexander play the over or the under for his next team? Put that on the Infinity Exteriors Jen Gibb and Chewy poll.
Here's the problem with McKinney. Because the defensive line is so bad, they can't use him the way they want to use him. You know? That's why Leroy was so good.
Yeah.
Because we only had to rush 4. Be like, all right, Leroy, do whatever you want. Just be a ball hawk. They can't do that with McKinney because it's like, oh, God, these guys, you know, because you're going to have leaking water back there. Because these quarterbacks are going to have 5-6 seconds to throw, and you're afraid to be like, I don't want to bring him up. I don't want to bring him up. That's the problem.
I mean, I'm just taking a look at the two games they played against the Vikings and the Lions last year, second half of the season, with no Jair. Justin Jefferson, 8 catches, 92 yards. Kind of take that for Justin Jefferson.
No touchdowns?
No touchdowns.
Okay.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, 5 catches, 43 yards.
But don't forget that was the first half. He only played the first half. Because they were up 28-0.
No, this is the second game.
Oh, the second
this
game.
This is the second game.
Okay.
Not the first game.
Yeah.
Where Jair actually
first
played.
First half of the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. So this was the second game. Yes, they still lost this game, but it seemed like they held up okay against him. Seemed like they held up okay against Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it's, I think, a better cornerback group when you replace Eric Stokes with Nate Hobbs. And the NFL obviously agrees based on the contract that Nate Hobbs got, based on the contract that Eric Stokes got. So I think that the cornerback position has gotten better. Again, because we all felt good about Jair going into the season last year, and then he just doesn't play for the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The team didn't disintegrate without him. They played pretty well in the second half to make that push to be a double-digit win team.
Comes down to stars, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. That doesn't change.
I mean, you can make the playoffs the way they do, but...
What was the last time Jair was a star?
3 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years. 22.
But my thing with Jair is he hasn't had a major injury.
The shoulder.
Yeah, the first one
cares
that he had.
If I don't care if our corner can't tackle. Who gives? Care less.
That used to be his whole thing.
I cared in 2022.
But I'm just saying, there's no ACL.
Yeah,
there's
no playoff game.
There's no ACL. There's no... anything serious, it's just your PCL. Well, who cares? You don't even need one, I don't think. Although mine hurts right now. I don't know what's going on.
Well, just get rid of it if you don't need it. Just go have it removed.
I'm thinking about it.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I do think it is interesting to see what the confidence level is from the Green Bay Packers fans based on who they have in the cornerback room right now. Nate Hobbs, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Javon Bullard, Kalen King, Kamal, is it Hayden? Haddon?
Hayden.
I don't even know who that guy is. Hayden, Micah Robinson, Gregory Jr., we have talked about him as well, and a few other guys who may be on the practice squad. Let us know your confidence level in the cornerbacks room for the Green Bay Packers headed into the 2025 season on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
Is it time to upgrade your windows or doors, but you don't want to spend a fortune? That's where Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin comes in, because Pella, you already know, they're the best in the industry. They've got a product line for every budget. I needed a new door. They came through, put up the design. Later this summer, they're coming through, putting in the new door. Can't wait to take pictures, share with everybody what that new front door is going to look like on our house. And right now, with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, you can get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and then wait. Start making payments up to 2 years later. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 6/30/2025. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. When you head to Pella, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or no?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor with sushi at St. Kate, offering guests an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, introduces the addition of an exciting new sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate. Learn more at stkatearts.com. stkatearts.com. Are you gathering at the tea? How are you guys reconciling the Brian Gutekunst urgency comments? Are you just considering them a throwaway at this point?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't gotten in the habit of interpreting Brian Gutekunst's comments as, he just talks to hear himself talk, or, you know, the way we kind of reference Mark Murphy at times, where it's like, you know, it's a chuckle fest. So when Brian Gutekunst talks about urgency with this team, I guess I felt like he recognized that the window was open for this team to win a championship, and he has to do his due diligence, and he has to go out and make moves that are going to put them in the best position to compete with the top teams in the league. Am I mistaken to interpret it that way, Gabe?
Yeah, no, it was urgency for everybody else but him.
He's cautious.
Yeah, urgency for everybody else but him. Urgency for the guys that he drafted because they think that those guys are good enough to get where they need to go. They just need to be better than they were last year for some of the guys the year before. I think that's what his urgency comments were about. Jason called it right away, and Jason was right. That's what the urgency
was
about.
Gabe, are you okay with that? Are you okay with the urgency extending to everyone else but not him?
No, I'm not okay with it, but I mean, but also at this point, like, what are you going to do? What are you actually going to do on June 10th? I know TJ Watt and Trey Hendrickson aren't reporting to mandatory minicamp because they're looking for new deals. But what are the odds you actually are going to trade for one of them? That either one of them actually get moved? I know it's nice to dream about Trey Hendrickson, but the chances that the Bengals actually move him seem slim to none. So on June 10th, there's only so much you can do at this point. Like, that work needed to be done earlier this offseason, if that's what you were looking for. Whether it was another corner, whether it was another pass rusher, like, that work needed to be done earlier, because now you just got to hope something falls into your lap.
The problem is their A players don't play like A players. They don't. Jordan didn't play like an A player. Rashawn Gary didn't play like an A player.
Are they?
No one progressed as a receiver to play like an A player. Tucker Kraft is close to an A player. Jair didn't play like an A player because he didn't play.
Well, yeah.
I mean, those are all guys you're like, okay, A players, you got to play like A players. You have to. You know? That's how you win.
And I guess I would make the argument that I don't know if Rashawn or Jordan have ever been A players. They're getting paid like A players.
Yes.
One of those is still, obviously, Jordan is still, you know, continuing his growth as a starter in the league. I think Rashawn is what Rashawn is at this point.
Correct. Which, I wonder if just had Goody in this room and say, did you screw up? He's never going to say it publicly.
Yeah.
Did you screw up? Yeah, I did. You know, which is fine. You have screw ups. But when you have screw ups, you got to nail drafts.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's it. If they want to make it to the NFC Championship game, Jen, those guys I mentioned minus Jair have to be A players. Have to be, you know. That's how you do it.
Do you think he called on Henriksen? Do you think Brian Gutekunst made a call over to the Bengals just to see what their price would be for a trade?
Yeah, the only reason you do it, though, in case the media got a hold of it. See, I called!
Well, and that's what Goody used to do when he first took over the job. Like, the Packers were involved in every free agent. They were involved in every trade. Well, the Packers were at least kicking the tires. Like, that's a Goody special. Like, he knows how to play that game. Because he wanted to get their names out there, because Denver seemed like Ted ever got their name out there.
Yeah.
Like, Goody was always in the mix early on in his tenure.
Serious? No. No, he was never.
Because I don't think the Bengals are serious about trading him either. Like, trades are two-way streets. Like, it has to, you know, go both ways. And I don't think the Bengals want to trade him.
They don't, because there's pressure on that organization now.
Mm-hmm.
You got Joe Burrow, you signed those receivers. Okay, we need to be in the mix, not missing playoffs. And they can't trade him. Or they're going to stink.
They might stink with him.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that Goody can do anything really about it. Again, unless something just trips, stumbles, and falls into his lap.
I mean, do you guys want Jalen Ramsey?
No. No, thank you.
No.
Well, that's it.
Not only does he have the reputation he has, he's older than Jair.
Yeah. Yeah, and the only reason I was telling Gabe during a break, the only reason I said Jair 15 games is because he's signing a one-year deal and he wants to get paid.
I get it, Chu.
Yeah.
100%.
And he wants to get paid.
It's interesting how that type of stuff will motivate somebody to be available.
Yeah, and anyone
who... We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.